Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. And as we do every Wednesday morning at 8 o'clock, we go to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. And welcome in Paul Kuharski from PaulKuharski.com. PK, good morning. How are you?
I'm well, guys. How are you?
Doing great. Thanks for being with us. PK, looking at the Titans situation right now with Kevin Byard, we've talked about the pay cut that he was asked to take and now has not shown up to OTAs. If you're a Titans fan, how concerned should you be at this point about the relationship and where it stands between Kevin Byard and the Titans?
I don't think concerned at all, really. I mean, you know, things didn't go great the way they handled asking him to take a pay cut or the way he reacted to them asking him to take a pay cut, but he'll be around for the mandatory minicamp, and he'll be around when training camp starts, and those feelings will fade, and things will get back to regular. He's not a tradable guy at this stage with the two big base salaries and the state of people's caps around and how safeties are valued. And it'd be foolish for the Titans to release him based on the financial savings are not that great against what they'd swallow. He's still a huge part of the team. It's not like they have great alternatives to him. I'd argue again and again, you need tentpole guys, even on what they're doing. And you have those in Simmons and him and Henry still. And it looks like they're going to go forward with a team, you know, with those tentpole guys, with a lot of younger guys around him, and I think things will go forward as normal. They tried to save money with him and they couldn't.
So would you say that this, and you know, presuming he's not at the OTA today, and I was gonna say, like, maybe he'll show up and just like he recorded the conversation with Rand Carthon and plays it for everybody, but you're presuming this, basically this is like a tax. This is a Kevin Byard making a little statement, you know what, not happy about that, so see you at minicamp, and then that ends and everybody's a professional and moves forward.
Yeah, I think that. I mean, it's funny because it's kind of, Joe, in reverse. Like, usually you're not there because you're upset about your pay. This is a reverse. I mean, he's getting paid a lot. So, you know, it's a statement about his value. Like, you don't think I'm worth this money? Well, you know, enjoy time without me. You know, he's missed at least a couple of these in the past, but certainly from a leadership thing, you know, only three guys not there who aren't hurt in him and in Autry and in Fulton. So, I mean, obviously with Vrabel and the way he works, they like the attendance very much, even, you know, at the voluntary thing. But if you're going to go through the roster, right, and pick a couple of guys that you could live without based on the quality of their play and leadership and all of that, I think Byard and Autry are two that you would circle.
PK, on the DeAndre Hopkins front, I never had much interest from the Titans standpoint of trading for him when he was with Arizona, but now that he has been released and that he is open and available for all 32 teams out there to pursue if they want to, how much should the Titans consider DeAndre Hopkins in your opinion?
Well, I think you've got to examine it, you know, if you think he's still a good receiver and has a couple good years left, then they should absolutely be in it. You know, but I was reading Albert Breer yesterday, who had, you know, the opinions of three personnel guys. Now, he's not going to solve their biggest problem and be a, you know, consistent downfield threat. And one of them said he can't run anymore. I mean, if you really feel like he can't run anymore, you know, even though they have money coming up in the next couple of years, maybe it's not the most prudent thing. But I think that they should be in on every good receiving possibility that they can be in on. You know, and a lot of people say, well, why would he come here? He wants to win a Super Bowl, yada, yada. But looks like Kansas City, you know, isn't going to meet him where he wants to be. Buffalo isn't. The price is going to come down. He knows Vrabel, he knows Kelly, you know, so I wouldn't dismiss the Titans as contenders if they're interested, but there's no indication yet that they're interested. The thing that really screwed this up for everybody is the Ravens, giving Odell Beckham $15 million, which we all know he's not worth. You know, I think the Hopkins market would be more like $10 million with a lot of incentives, but he's going to say, well, Odell Beckham got 15.
Of course, Odell Beckham was great, like last time we saw him before, of course, having a second ACL, but yeah.
He's done. I mean, he's not going to play worth $15 million, I don't think.
But beyond even like ring chasing, I mean, if you're DeAndre Hopkins, like you said, you have the pre-existing relationships, but wouldn't you also be a little bit scared off by the offense itself?
Yeah, a little bit. But, I mean, ultimately, you go out and play football. You've got a Hall of Fame resume that you want to continue to build, and you got to go somewhere where you want it. And it's not like to read reports that the line is out the door. Outside of Kansas City and Buffalo and Deshaun Watson talking, it doesn't sound like there's massive interest. So, I would think the Titans could position themselves as at least, the plan B for him if they want. But again, we have no sense what they think of what he's got left. I will say, like Robbie said, when it would have cost them draft picks to trade for him and inheriting a big contract to having to redo that, I said, no way. It's another Julio Jones scenario. Now that it would just cost you money, and they have a lot of money after this year, I'd be more intrigued by it. But if they look at it and see another Julio Jones, I could understand it, but I'm still waiting for Mike Vrabel's miracle guys that are going to show up in this period between the end of the draft and the start of the season.
You just can't respect Racy McMath. I'm sick of it.
Racy McMath.
Paul Karski from PaulKarski.com with us here on Robbie and Rex Show. PK, we've talked to you about Christian Fulton and how important this year is for him. What about Elijah Molden? I mean, he basically missed the whole year last year. He was working at safety with Kevin Byard not being there last week. What do you think of Molden, the importance of this year, and where he's going to be for the Titans this year once they step on the field?
Well, Molden skated a little bit on the repeat offender thing. Like, if Vrabel had kept talking when he was upset about David Long and Christian Fulton, I think Molden would have been the next name out of his mouth. Molden had, problems. It's groin, right? Before the season before and played through. Then last year was a wash based on that. We talked to him last week. He said he's not all the way back from that yet and learning to pace himself and all of that. Look, the guy's got is a good instinctive player and all of that. The thing is, you have to cover for him because then he doesn't have deep speed. So, I mean, I think it's smart to play him at safety, but I think he's got limitations at safety because people can run past him. And so he's always been kind of a mystery to me as to why they drafted Molden. I could see that he might have been the best value on the board, but it wasn't long after they said that Logan Ryan wasn't a fit for them anymore because the position, the corner position, a nickel position, had become a more vertical position and a less horizontal position, and that's why Logan Ryan wasn't a fit anymore. And then they drafted Molden, who's Logan Ryan-ish in terms of being horizontal and not vertical. So I like the fact that they have four cornerbacks because I expect somebody gets hurt. And they have no depth at safety, so it makes sense for him to be depth there. I imagine he's a chess piece for matchups that can plug in and play, at outside corner if you're desperate, at inside corner certainly, at safety depending on your health, at dime. But I think this team's best if he's probably, mix and match guy and not a regular guy, and he's certainly got a great attitude.
You get any sense last week on Murphy Bunting? What do you think about him? So, in what you've seen so far,
it's hard to tell. I get more of a sense of from what he had to say than what I saw him do. I mean, I like the addition. I think he's kind of a I don't want to say Caleb Farley light in terms of build and physique, but that I think is kind of what he brings. He's got kind of that length and a little bit of that physicality. And I think, he stands to replace Farley, who clearly needs replacing. I envision him starting opposite Fulton day one, and those being the outside guys automatically, and then McCreary being the inside guy, which creates the problem we're talking about there in terms of any regularity from Molden.
Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com, our guest here on Robbie and Rex Road.
We don't want to get his thoughts on Andrew Brunette?
Yeah, we can.
Any thoughts? Got any thoughts, PK?
I'm always excited when a new GM comes in and can't make up his mind or takes a long, long time to make up his mind. It shows me a decisiveness that I want.
Yeah, we got a PK shot in on trots.
He always delivers. PK, great stuff as always. Thanks for being with us, and we'll talk to you next week.
See
it. All right, Paul Kaharsky from PaulKaharsky.com, our guest on Robbie and Rexo. We'll take your thoughts, 615-737-1025. Your thoughts on the Titans. We'll also get back into the Hines firing and the Brunette hiring coming up next as well.
It's official.
It is official.
I just tweeted out an interesting quote from Trotz on Brunette that we should talk about.
We will get into that coming up next. Make sure you check out this week's Nashville's Best Deal. It's Central Barbecue in Hillsborough Village. Central Barbecue is a slow-cooked Memphis-style barbecue restaurant where their motto is "Smoke is our sauce." Go to thegamenashville.com/deals for half off a $30 gift card to Central Barbecue today. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063 The Game, streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook. Our video streaming brought to you by Superbook. We are live from our 1025 The Game studio, brought to you by Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. I got some tickets to give away, a pair of tickets to see Monster Jam at Nissan Stadium coming up on July 1st. Be caller number 5-615-737-1025. 615-737-1025. Caller number 5 will win a pair of tickets to see Monster Jam at Nissan Stadium coming up on July the 1st. Joe, the Predators have made the hiring of Andrew Brunette official, as they say. They've announced it, and you brought up an interesting quote in the press release from Barry Trotz.
Well, it's the quote, but also it's the placement of the quote that I find interesting here. So I'll just read you the very beginning of the press release, okay? Says, quote, incoming Nashville Predators general manager Barry Trotz announced today that the team has hired Andrew Brunette as the fourth head coach in franchise history. Then, boom, you go right to a Trotz quote, okay? This is Trotz. Quote, when I look at our roster and those in our system, we have a lot of fast, skilled players, and we will likely select more of those types of players in this year's draft. We want to become more of an offensive team, and Andrew specializes on that side of the ice. He lived it as a player, and he coaches it as a coach. He is as good of an offensive teacher and power play coach as there is in the game today. And then there's more of the quote and on and then into the background and all these things. They come right out with offensive coach, power play, skilled players, more skilled players coming. Pretty clear what the message is here.
Well, and, you know, we talked about that in the show earlier today. Like, Barry Trotz has been consistent on that message in terms of he wants to be more offensive. And I think some people just kind of dismiss that of like, okay, well, he's a GM. He's saying he wants to be skilled and he wants to be big and he wants to be strong. And that's what everybody says when they take over a job. They want to be better and bigger and faster and stronger and all this stuff. But I do think that there is going to be a pretty heavy emphasis on the Predators being more offensive. And I've talked about it. That's the way the game's going. Like, it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure that out. The last 2 years, scoring has been up in the league, and you have to be able to score consistently in today's game or you're going to be left behind. I don't care how good your goalie is. I don't care that you have UC Saros in net. If you cannot score, it's too hard. Like, you have to be able to score your way out of trouble, and the Predators just aren't there yet. So that's going to be the task for Andrew Brunette. But to your point, I mean, it's interesting that quote is that high in that story and that's obviously a very specific point of emphasis for Barry Trotz. He talked about Andrew Brunette as good of an offensive teacher and power play coach as there is in the game today.
Strong words. And to the earlier text, we kind of batted this around, like, what are they going to do? They have all these guys they drafted, you know, in Hines's image, not literally, but, you know, a Hines player, so to speak. And now what are they going to do with those guys? Like Trotz says in that quote, they have skilled, fast players now that are in the system that they have drafted with Hines as the coach. So it's not like they haven't, like Poile previously wasn't thinking along these lines too. But now, of course, if this sales job of Brunette ends up being accurate, then you've got someone who should be able to maximize that talent.
Well, that's the thing. Like, I still more out of it. I said this earlier. They've got 13 picks this year in the draft as we sit here today. I think there is a chance that when they pick at number 15 overall with their first one, that a defenseman's coming off the board. Now, we'll see how the board falls. I mean, you got to pick your best player at that point, whether that's forward or defenseman. But Poile told us that a few months ago. He said, you know, if all things being equal, we'd probably like to take a defenseman just because they're a little light on that side of things in their pipeline right now. So it doesn't necessarily mean that they're just they're going to identify, oh, that's a centerman. We need to reach up and go get him. But to your point, the shift in philosophy, I think, is it's already kind of started. Like, they've been leaning more on the forward side of their draft picks over the last really 4 or 5 years. Like, really, the last time they took a defenseman in the first round, I think it was Fabro in 16. So it's been a while since they've taken a defenseman in the first round.
And Tolvanen, it was 17, right? Yeah, Tolvanen was 17. So, yeah, it's kind of been from there.
Yeah, and some of those have worked out. Some of those have not. And we're going to see a lot of them next year, maybe not even necessarily here, but they'll at least be in North America and starting to play that way. But, you know, that's the thing. Like, you look at their pipeline right now, and you've got Evangelista and some of the guys that we saw at the end last year here, but you've also got Kimmel, who they took in the first round last year, LaRue, who's kind of a different player. He's not – I mean, he's a skilled guy,
he's
but
a little
he's
bit
more
of an
agitator. Kind of like a, you know, Matthew Tkachuk-esque.
Does that
not
fit?
As good.
Does that fit anymore?
I think it fits.
They don't want to hit anybody or make anybody mad, do they? They just want to skate around. Like
skate around.
Disney on ice. And
no contact.
Goals.
Yeah. We will not have contact out there. But they've taken that approach kind of already in terms of focusing a little bit more on the forwards. And now the offensive part of this, you know, I agree with you. As good of an offensive teacher and power play coach as there is in the game today – is pretty strong words from Barry Trotz as it relates to Andrew Burnett. So that's what you want to hear if you're a Preds fan.
It's a bold statement. Bold statement, Barry.
It is a bold statement. Now, that's the thing. That goes back to your discussion in the rant, too. Like, I have no idea how good of a offensive coach Andrew Burnett is and where he ranks in the game today. Barry Trotz would have a much better idea than me on that. But at the end of the day, you got to have the right players, too, right? Like, you can coach and coach and coach, but you have to have the players that can get it done. And the real question is twofold as it relates to the Andrew Burnett hiring. Number one, can you bring along the young players that are already here and maximize that ability? And number two, if you do that, what is that ability? Like, what is the maximum that this next core of Evangelista and Tomasino and Parsonen and all these different guys, what is that going to be for your group? I don't know. I don't know how good that is or how good it's not. I like what I've seen so far, but is it elite? Can it win you a cup?
Right. If you're UC Saros right now, are you like, oh, how many 6-5 games am I going to be getting in now? Will anyone be in the D zone ever with me? Just it's all you, UC.
Roman Yossi's looking around like, man, this is going to be great. Just skating around all the time.
Oh, man.
I mean, look, the goalie's good. Just let him make saves, I guess. Just abandoning defense. I don't think that's going to happen.
You got the goalie. You're fine. What else do you need?
Well, I do wonder, like, if you're a Predators fan out there, because I had somebody text me this yesterday, and it was the wording of the text was essentially, I'm really glad that the Predators have hired, quote-unquote, new blood rather than just, like, recycling through some old coach in the NHL. Like, I do wonder how much different the reaction would be if it's like, you know, a Gerard Gallant or Bruce Boudreau coming out of the TV studio and coming back to coach the Preds. Like, how much different the reaction is that it's a, you know, it's a younger guy. Now, you know, I say younger, like, he's basically like the same age as John Hines. So it's not like they've got some young puppy coming in here. But in terms of coaching experience, he is younger for sure.
Yes, yes. There should be a Twitter account. Like, Gerard Boudreau should be a Twitter account.
Yes.
I do want to quickly shout out a friend of ours who came in and did some shadowing for us, Jeff Middleton. He's a student at Miami. He had a good piece on theforecheck.com about Brunette. And in particular, I love graphs. I love Micah Blake McCurdy blobs. They're amazing.
Was that the same blob that told us one time that Peter Laviolette doesn't have a clue what he's doing out there?
He proved that. I will say that after that, he went to the Caps, didn't do all that well, but I don't know. I'm just saying. So he quotes all three zones. Zone entries leading to scoring chances per 60 minutes and controlled zone entries per 60 minutes. Because obviously people want to see no more dumping and chasing. Like, get through the neutral zone with speed. And so in this, in the 21-22 season, the Panthers, you look at this graph, they absolutely annihilated the rest of the league.
Yeah.
Just let me show you this. Look at this. Look at this. Look at where they are over here in this chart. Wow. Look, check it out, guys. Look, see on the camera? Look at it. They're right up. They're over here.
Video streaming brought to you by Superbook.
Yeah, thank you. But, no, it's a good piece. It's interesting. And, of course, again, I think it speaks to philosophy. I think it speaks to what is in that quote. It also speaks to Huberto, Reinhardt, Ekblad, right? You know. But still, I mean, at least you're taking advantage of those guys. And he did last year as a coach.
Well, and I think
he'd love to have guys like that here someday.
I think everybody would agree that if you're the Predators, you want to be able to enter the zone with the puck controlled more often than they do, right? Like, everybody would agree with that.
Like, Yossi can't be on the ice at all times.
Yeah, Yossi, right. Yossi's pretty good at it, but somebody else is going to have to figure out a way to enter the zone consistently, hold on to the puck, and set up offense that way. And if Andrew Brunette can help you do that better and more efficiently, then great. That should lead to more offense. I think the part that would excite me the most if I'm a Predators fan is like the power play. Like, if he's been really good with the power play wherever he's been, how much will that translate here? Because if it does, think about how much different the conversation could be if the Predators' power play was 8th in the league last year rather than 28th.
If they maintain the power play, they're easily a playoff team last year. Easily. They probably don't have a sell-off. They might still have Poylen Hines as GM. Who knows?
They might. 615-737-1025. Coming up next, it's time for The Choice is Yours. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game.
This. We all have choices to make. This. Like right now. The Choice is Yours. Built by Jared Companies. You have a choice. So when you have a need for site and utility work, fire protection, concrete and asphalt services, the choice is simple. It's Jared Companies. For more, visit JaredCompaniesInc.com. The Choice is Yours. Now on Robbie and Rex Road.
It is that time of the week. Time for The Choice is Yours here on Robbie and Rex Road. As always, we encourage your participation on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. 615-737-1025. Choice is Yours, brought to you by Jarrett Companies, your one-stop shop for site and utility work, fire protection, paving, and concrete needs. You can get your free estimate at JarrettCompaniesInc.com. I am in the questions chair today. Joe Rexroad, Michelle Knezovic. Do you want to begin with sports or non-sports?
Let's do non-sports today.
You always do non-sports.
I know.
I just realized that. Like, you always do non-sports.
Shell hates sports.
Well, yeah, right. This would be a bad job if I hated sports. I feel like it's a good little breakup, you know, of everything we've been chatting about.
Okay.
Let's get a little happiness.
Is your non-sports question brunettes or blondes?
Ooh, it's not, but it could be.
Shout out to Keith on the text line. He prefers
Andrew
Blonde, he said. Yes. Good job. I knew Keith would be the one to get that joke in.
We'll ask Rabel about that later, too.
Yes.
All right. In honor of Joe Rexroad's rant yesterday of the Dave Matthews Band concert, the concert that you haven't been to yet that you must get to. The concert that you haven't been to yet that you must get to.
Well, I got a quick answer for you because I'm scheming.
Don't.
No? Yeah, I don't think you know. I'm scheming because, you know, Father's Day is coming up, and, you know, Bonnaroo is that weekend, and, you know, I've never seen the band that plays the theme song to this show. That band is named the Foo Fighters.
It is.
And also the Pixies are playing that day, and I have seen them, and they are an all-time favorite of mine. So I think that's got to be – I think – I've asked all my kids, hey, who wants to go with me to Bonnaroo? And like basically they're not even answering me.
Yeah.
They're just ignoring me.
Yeah.
I might go by myself, but I think it's got to be the Foo Fighters.
Foo Fighters, all right.
Your kids don't want to camp out with you in a tent for a couple days.
What? I mean, what? I'm fun.
He is fun.
I never said you weren't. Okay, mine's Taylor Swift. I had this tour. I've never seen her. My dad and my sister got tickets probably 7 years ago for like $100, and they were like third row. And I was totally planning on going to here in Nashville. I just couldn't spend a month's rent on tickets. And then I'm seeing everybody's videos. Your daughter's showing me videos. So I had to get off social media and TikTok because it looked so incredible. 3 hours, 45 songs long. Having major FOMO, fear of missing out during that.
Is there a leg on this tour somewhere that you've looked
since
at?
Since he's close. Maybe Cincinnati.
Okay.
Yeah, maybe so.
Right. How about you?
Blink 182.
What?
Love a Blink 182 concert, and you're going with me. I would love to bring you to a Blink 182 concert.
I need to get real drunk before that one.
I would love that concert. They got a lot of jams, man.
They do.
It's fine. I'm trying to think of their songs. God, they're so bad. Oh.
Don't they sing all the small things?
Look, they suck.
It was worth it just to get you to start doing that. But yeah, Blink 182 is my answer. I'd love to go to that concert.
I'll go.
All right. Switching back to sports. The bigger surprise to be where they are right now currently in the playoffs, the Miami Heat or the Florida Panthers? Both 8 seeds, both in the finals, both winning on the road in Game 7 in certain series. The bigger surprise to be where they are right now, the Florida Panthers or the Miami Heat?
I think easily your Miami Heat. For one thing, Stanley Cup playoffs, NBA playoffs are different, right?
They are different.
Stanley Cup playoffs, wacky stuff happens way more often than the NBA playoffs.
Now, Florida did play the greatest team ever in the regular season in the first round.
This is true. No, you're right. I mean, that upset, but I don't think that upset compares to the combination of Milwaukee and Boston, both teams on paper that are well superior to the Heat. So, and again, I just think the nature of the sport, it just doesn't lend itself to the upsets that the Stanley Cup playoffs do. I mean, the President's Trophy team is basically toast
every year from the start.
So, and Florida, we knew Florida was very good this year.
Yep.
They had their ups and downs, their issues, but yeah, Miami Heat, stunning.
Yep, I'm on the same page. You know, Florida, they did, I feel like we didn't even talk about this a lot, but they did win the President's Trophy last year. They obviously got Matthew Tkachuk in the offseason. But this Miami Heat team, like, I mean, I remember having the conversation, oh, they're in the play-in game, and then Tyler Hero gets hurt, and you're looking at this core of Jimmy Bam and thinking, okay, I think they just held on to this core too long. And for them to make it, first off, out of the play-in, beat the Bucks, then the Knicks, and now the Celtics. I mean, I understand they have Eric Spoelstra, one of the best in the game, but Miami Heat by far for me.
I'm going Heat too. I guess this was a bad question, but
yeah,
I'm going
fine. It's good. It's a good topic.
Yeah, I mean,
sometimes there's just a clear right answer.
I mean, look, before the play-in game, I said, yeah, I want to just go ahead and lose. Just go ahead and get this thing out of the way.
You were. You wanted this season to end.
You're I did.
I don't like it's this like team. Get out of here.
Jimmy, now look, Bam's still getting on my nerves. So I haven't quite gotten over him yet, but I'll go Heat in this one.
Yeah.
All right, switching back to non-sports. Your top vacation spot of all time that you've ever been. Top vacation spot of all time.
Man. Well, Michelle, do you have a clear answer?
Yeah, I have a clear answer. My top vacation spot, actually, my family, cousins, aunts, uncles, we all did this. We skipped Christmas one year, and we went to the Bahamas, to the Atlantis. It never fails. I've been twice. Phenomenal. There's something for everybody. The water is so crystal clear. So Bahamas by far for me.
There you go.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, there's a lot of different options and a life my old as a former Army brat who used to live all over the world and stuff like that, you know?
Yeah.
But I got to say, I think it's just Maui, man. It's the same idea. Like,
you just want to go watch basketball.
Well, yeah, but like my brother got married, so we stayed. And then, you know, you got the beach, which is amazing, but also like four-wheeling in the mountains there stuff. I mean, I'm going to have to go Maui.
I enjoyed the heck out of Montego Bay, Jamaica. That's my spot.
We're all very tropical beach.
We are very tropical.
Apparently.
We do not like the cold on this here program. All right, switching back to sports. This is an interesting one. I saw, you know, the SEC meetings are down there in Destin, Florida, and they've got the, you know, the markers and the flags up there now, and Oklahoma and Texas now in the mix yesterday. So we're getting real on the Oklahoma and Texas stuff, and we'll have more to talk about with the SEC stuff coming up tomorrow on the show. But my question is this. You can pick one SEC program not named Georgia or Alabama to have the most success over the next 10 years. And remember, Oklahoma and Texas are included in this. One SEC program to have the most success, not named Georgia or Alabama, over the next 10 years in football. Who will it be?
It's a great question.
GB Joe or Vandy Joe? What are you going to go with?
Probably neither of them. But Robbie, do you have maybe
I've got an
go,
answer.
Maybe you should go first on this one.
Mine, Tennessee is in the mix for me. I'm thinking about it, but I think I'm going LSU. I think LSU is going to be my answer. They've got a good recruiting base always down there. I thought the job that Brian Kelly did in his first year was really good. Now, he did get absolutely destroyed by the Vols. But I thought the job that he did in his first year was really good. I also considered Oklahoma and Texas coming in here for this. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you could go with this. But I think my answer is going to be LSU because I know Brian Kelly is a good coach, and I know that you can recruit at LSU, so LSU will be my answer.
No, you're next.
I'm next? Yeah, you know, look, I think, I in all seriousness, yes, I think Tennessee should be, of course, Texas and Oklahoma. I mean, I have this inclination. At some point, it's going to come together for Texas, right? Like, they print their own money there, right? Like, it's going to work out. But I don't know that Texas coming to the SEC is you know, going to work out as well for them as maybe they hope.
Arch.
And with Oklahoma... That's true. They do have Arch. With Oklahoma, you know, you have, again, Texas A&M has a tremendous profile too, like financial and everything. I just don't know about Oklahoma's coach. Not totally sure about Sarkisian. I like what Tennessee is looking like right now, but I think you hit the correct answer. I think it's LSU. Like it or not, Brian Kelly has demonstrated enough over a long coaching career with all the other advantages they have. I think that's the right answer.
He's got a good family down there, too.
He does.
So when I first heard you ask the question, I didn't know you meant which program do you think will have the most success in the next 10 years? I thought the question was, which one do you want to have the most success in 10 years? And I'm like, how do they not know my answer? I think LSU, I think that's a big one. I'm going to go kind of a wild card on this one. But I actually think that South Carolina, it's a wild card. Don't get me wrong. But I think that, you know, in the last couple of years, obviously football is king. But even in just the short time and the end of the season they had last year with obviously the big win over Tennessee, they had the huge win over Clemson. I think this year could be a sleeper team in the SEC. So I'm going to go South Carolina for this one.
Wow. I tell you, I will say, like, they have quickly flipped it on Dabo more than would have ever imagined. And that's a big deal. I mean, one, you have to dominate your own state.
I think there's a limitation to what they can be.
I agree. I think the ceiling on them is just – but
– get the old ball coach running around back there? I refuse to acknowledge Shane Beamer.
You love Beamer,
those
Robbie.
TikToks, elite TikToks. Who else is TikToking absolutely like that guy?
Goober.
Kim Mulkey. Kim Mulkey is TikToking like that guy.
Is she?
Oh, yeah.
God, I have no interest in that.
Multiple people on the text line warning Rex Road to stay away from the showers at Bonnaroo. So take that what you
if
will.
If I go for one day, I probably will shower before I go.
Yeah.
But thank you.
Thank you very much.
And then I'll shower at home later.
Yes. Thank you very much. Will from Bellevue says he just returned from Jackson Hole, Wyoming. Heaven on earth. I've heard good things. Need to get out there one day.
I've heard that too. Probably won't go there, but I've heard.
Sorry, I'm mesmerized by the cheese roll on TV right now.
I was
going to
say that too. Who do you think would win out of all of us?
On the, you know, the cheese roll?
Chase.
Running down the hill? Oh, Chase.
No, clearly. Us three.
No.
Oh.
You.
We all break
Brandon.
Our bones.
Can Brandon count? Yeah, I mean, my brittle bones will snap at the first fall.
You would run too fast and fall over yourself.
615-737-1025, our phone number. This has been The Choice is Yours. You can check it out every Wednesday at 8:30 here on the program. Coming up next, we'll take your thoughts on our text line. We'll open it up. The Titans, the Preds, everything on the table at 615-737-1025. That's next. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 1025-1063, The Game, presented by TJ Anderson Homes of Benchmark Realty, where their advanced pay by TJ option can save you thousands when selling your home. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Michelle Knezovic here with you on this Wednesday morning. Preds introducing Andrew Brunette, alongside Barry Trotz and David Poyle later today at 1 o'clock. So that press conference today at 1 o'clock, we'll have that for you live here on 102.5 The Game. So looking forward to that. We'll get back into the Andrew Burnett conversation here in just a second. By the way, Nick Kieser and I with a live edition of Preds Insiders tonight, reacting to
live
the press conference. So looking forward to that.
I like it.
Coming up tonight on Preds Insiders at 6 o'clock on 102.5, 106.3
Discussing the Admirals.
Discussing the Ats. That's all we're talking about.
It's live. I hope Kieser doesn't let any profanity slip.
Yeah.
A little worried about that guy.
Yeah, you got to watch him. He's very scary. Yeah. And Nick Kieser, that reporter.
I mean, if you guys heard him off the air, it's like Vrabel at practice.
It is. You just got to watch out.
You just never know when Kieser's going to catch some strays on here.
I do want to get your thoughts on something we brought up with Kuharsky earlier before we get back into the Preds. The Kevin Byard situation with him being gone from OTAs, we know about the pay cut, all those things that the Titans asked him to take. He didn't take it. He's not really ever been a guy that doesn't show up to things for the most part. How concerned are you, if you're a Titans fan, on where the relationship currently stands between Byard and the Titans?
I'm totally with Kuharsky. This is why Stilly and Paulie would be amazing, the argument about this. But no, it's... this is a tax.
Are you going to pay attention to how many times Byard touches his face the next time he has a press conference?
I mean, apparently. Well, or maybe I don't have to. We can just go to hashtag Jared's film room and he'll have it broken down for us. I think this is a tax. I like how PK put it. It's like, and by the way, to get Michelle riled up, it's not a contract issue. There's no contract issue. He has a contract. He likes his contract.
Thank you.
He loves his contract. He's going to get paid his contract. He's happy about the contract. But this is a tax for the Titans for asking him to cut his pay. They're like, okay, see you at minicamp. It's what it is. He's going to be a leader. He's going to be the same player, leader, guy in the locker room, all that stuff. Not one guy in that locker room gives a crap that he's not at OTAs. So, no, I understand something like this happens, and some people have to find a way to find outrage and panic so they can fill time. This is not a situation to me to worry about at all.
Joe, your final thoughts on the John Hines part of this. Obviously, Andrew Burnett introduced later today as the fourth coach in the history of the Predators franchise. We'll have a lot to get to on the Burnett front itself tomorrow once we hear some of what he's got to say. But the way this all went down with John Hines, we talked about it yesterday. Predators apparently talking to coaches over the weekend, according to Friedman, and then yesterday they make the move. Hines is out. He was told, according to Pierre LeBrun, yesterday that he was out. And we know that Tim and Lambert are now gone. Your thoughts on the John Hines part of this as we try to kind of piece together how this whole thing went down and how Andrew Burnett is now the fourth coach in team history.
Yeah, I think the Preds could have handled it better on the Hines front. I think they should have just moved on from him earlier. I have to read this as he was their safety. As I said earlier on the show, Harvard was my safety school, so I can relate to this.
Yes.
Yeah, it was Robbie's.
But, yeah, it's too bad. You and I could have been
– yeah.
We could have been fencing against each other in the Ivy League. But I have to read it that way. I don't know any other explanation. I can't buy that they knew for sure they were moving on from him. But they did what they did. They told him yesterday. He didn't know until yesterday that he was gone. He'll be fine. He'll probably be an assistant somewhere next year. Maybe. I don't know. Michelle just shared the tweet from Arthur Staple, who's covered the Rangers forever, that Hines could get in the mix there. Could be Hines against Lavi for the Rangers job. But he'll be fine. I think with this, it is. Like, it's staff members, it's the assistants who can really be in a bind based on timing. Now, from what I'm seeing, and today's going to be really interesting, it appears two of the three Hines assistants may be staying here and being part of Andrew Burnett's staff.
It really, it reads that way. The only question I would have there is, did Trotz, no matter what, say Dan Lambert's out, like he's got to go, we got to do some other things on the power play, and we'll let Burnett figure out the other two when he gets here and he gets to know them? I don't know. But like, to me, typically my preference in this situation is to just move on and let him bring in his own staff. But maybe the plan, maybe they really love how high note and like Richards is a good coach. Richards has been a head coach in the league before. I think he's a good assistant coach. He ran the defense with the Lightning before he came here. Like Richards, I think, is a really good coach. From everybody I've spoken to about high note, a lot of people love Dan High Note. So I guess I'm not really surprised that those would be the two that would stay if that's the plan for the Predators. But I do wonder if this is just we'll let Brunette make that decision, or if this is Trott saying, yeah, those two guys are staying. We have a spot open that may be filled by Carl Taylor.
Exactly.
We'll see.
What if it's filled? Andrew, thanks for coming. Here's your staff.
Yeah, I mean, it could be. And you know, I'm not going to say that's typically how that works, but maybe that's the way it's going to work here in Nashville. We'll see.
See, I don't love that if they just hire him and then they dictate for him what his staff's going to be. I don't think that, to me, almost speaks, because look, this is another thing. Like, so Gover and I, you know, talking about this yesterday, the you know, will Trotz be a little bit too, because he's a lifelong coach, most of his career, you know, meddling or involved or looking over his shoulder type thing, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I think that's a thing that you think about when you have a guy like Trotz who's transitioning to a different job. I think Andrew Brunette should be allowed to at least pick one coach, shouldn't
right?
he?
But like I hear that, but I also think like if you're Barry Trotz, like wouldn't you know more than anybody how important it is to like have your own staff? Like that, you would think that would be like for the coach to have his own guys. That's what makes me wonder. Like, is it ironclad that Hinode and Richards are coming back, or is this just very simply all right, we're going to let Andrew Brunette meet with these guys, get to know him a little bit, and then figure out if he wants to do that or if he wants to bring in a couple other guys. I don't know.
Maybe spend a month or two evaluating.
Maybe evaluate. You have some time to evaluate.
A new evaluation process starts.
You don't necessarily.
Evaluating these assistants.
For sure. You don't necessarily have to have your assistants in place by the time NHL draft and free agency comes around. Necessarily.
That's true. Now, of course, those guys
would probably like to go work
best
elsewhere.
Best of luck, fellas. Yeah. It's August. Maybe a year from now you can get a job. Yeah, man, you know, like, yeah. The timing kind of important right now for an assistant coach hoping to be employed in the league next year.
But I'm interested to see what Andrew Brunette has to say later today. You read off the quote from Barry Trotz in the press release earlier talking about becoming more of an offensive team. And the phrasing that I found interesting from Barry Trotz talking about Brunette, quote, "He is as good of an offensive teacher and power play coach as there is in the game today," was the quote from Barry Trotz in the press release. So how about that?
That is a very strong quote, and that's how that press release led. Very clearly wanting to get across the message that this is a more offensive era of Preds hockey to come here.
So we're going to keep you covered all day long here on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Chase and Michelle will have you covered on all things John Hines being fired yesterday by the Predators. Predators naming Andrew Brunette as the fourth coach in team history. I said it earlier, Nick Kieser and myself. We'll have a live edition of Preds Insiders coming up tonight as well on 102.5, 106.3 The Game, and the press conference today at 1 o'clock with Andrew Brunette, Barry Trotz, and David Poile. So looking forward to that. That does it for us today. Chase and Michelle is coming up next. This is 102.5, 106.3 The Game.